The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
David Cullinan is with me in studio, Sinn Féin spokesperson for health. And we're going to be talking about cardiac care around the country in just a moment. But David, I do have to ask about the Dáil today. I mean, proceedings much calmer relative to yesterday. Wouldn't be hard to be much calmer relative to yesterday. Why have you and your colleagues in opposition lost faith in Verona Murphy?
Well, I think it's the clear view of the entire opposition that what happened yesterday was unacceptable, that even though votes were called, votes were not taken. It was clear to us that there was coordination between the Cian Chorla and the Chief Whip of government and government to get through their cosy arrangement with Michael Lowry through hell or high water yesterday. And the calls from the opposition, in fact, a number of occasions, the leader of the opposition tried to make points and the Cian Chorla simply would not hear any of those points. So it was quite obvious to us that this was manipulated. It was bulldozed through the Dáil with the support and the connivance of the Cian Chorla. And that for us is unacceptable. So the Cian Chorla has an important function. And the Dáil belongs not just to the government, it belongs to the opposition. The Parliament is the Parliament for all of those who are elected. And in my view, the Cian Chorla has to enjoy the support both of government and opposition. But if the opposition has a view, and clearly it was the view of the entire opposition yesterday, that the Cian Chorla was essentially working hand in glove with the government and with the Chief Whip to get through a deal that obviously was very contentious and was contended very strongly in the Dáil chamber on a number of occasions by the opposition, that to us simply isn't acceptable. So her position has become untenable, and I understand that in the next number of minutes a motion will be published calling for no confidence in her.
And we understand government are going to vote confidence in her, and look, maybe in times past it wouldn't get to that point and Cian Chorla might fall on their sword. I'm not sure if Verona Murphy is going to fall on her sword. I suspect she'll brazen it out. Just in terms of the substantive issue, the standing orders and the changing and all of that, I get the sense, listen, it's quite obvious that opposition are united in their disappointment and how this and their frustration and how it has all panned out, and talk of the vote being rammed through and everything. It is kind of done and dusted, though, isn't it? I mean, the options open to you are really just disrupt the Dáil so that it's adjourned every day, and that hasn't happened today. Kind of proceedings went ahead as normal. So I get the sense we're kind of on the other side of that row.
Well, you get the sense, first of all, from government from the very start of this issue that this was something that was contrived by the opposition and by Sinn Féin. So if you listen to Micheál Martin and Simon Harris, you would think that Sinn Féin and the opposition were responsible for the grubby deal that was done with Michael
Lowry. I've used the word stroke plenty of times here as well.
But my point is this, we didn't invite this controversy. It was not in our interest or anybody's interest.
But it's kind of done now, isn't it?
It's done in the sense that the government believed that they had a vote taken. The problem is that the vote wasn't properly taken. So on the order of business today, that was challenged very strongly by Piers Doherty and by others. So you can't have a situation where you have the order of business, you have potential votes, you have motions that's brought before the floor of the Dáil, and the Cian Chorla simply ignores the entire opposition. Doesn't call a vote, doesn't recognise any of the calls from the opposition. Like, a Dáil doesn't function like that, particularly when it was very clear to the opposition that the vote was manipulated by the Cian Chorla herself. And I used that word very advisedly and very strongly.
So if the standing orders, you know, quote unquote, agreed at that vote last night were to be implemented, how are you going to respond or attempt to be implemented?
Well, it didn't happen like that. And obviously the government have the numbers, and obviously the government can vote through all sorts of issues that we as an opposition won't agree with.
Listen, I don't want to cut across you, but just for people listening at home, they're not paying attention in great detail to this. And what they want to know is, are we looking at protracted scenes of shouting and screaming in the Dáil, or are we going to get, you know, committees up and running and all of that? Are we closer to that today?
Well, you see,
But ultimately, are we closer to that?
I accept, Kieran, that for people who are victims of the housing crisis, for somebody who's on a health waiting list, for somebody who can't afford to put food on the table, and we know there's a cost of living crisis, that there are more important issues. I accept all of that. In fact, I have raised all of those issues, as have my party on the floor of the Dáil. But you can't ask the opposition to turn a blind eye to Michael Lowry, of all politicians, who negotiated the programme for government, who negotiated ministers being appointed appointed to that government, then acting as if he was in opposition and essentially quite literally giving two fingers, not just to the opposition, but to the Dáil. So we have to take a stand for democracy within the Dáil. If the opposition doesn't do it, nobody will do it. And I don't believe that is in anybody's interest. So my point is, I would rather be talking about other issues. I would rather there was no rancour in the Dáil. I would rather there was no division. But this wasn't something that we invited. This was something that was a product of an arrangement that was made between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and Michael Lowry.
Let's talk about one of those other issues then while you're here. So, cardiac care. So, listen, people listening at home don't need me to tell them cardiovascular disease is still one of the big killers in this country. And they won't be surprised then to hear that this national review was carried out. It was called for in 2019. What they might be surprised to hear is that it was completed in 2024 and it's been sitting on the minister's desk ever since, unpublished. So what's the issue as far as you understand it?
Well, what's interesting about it is that I was one of the Oireachtas members that that was at a meeting in 2019 when Simon Harris at the time was Minister for Health and he signed off on it. So you might recall that there was a very high profile campaign in the South East and in Waterford for a second cardiac lab. There was a minister in government at the time, John Halligan, who had said he had negotiated that as part of a programme for government. We then had a report which essentially said that wasn't necessary. And at a meeting of Oireachtas members from across the South East, Simon Harris agreed to do a national review of cardiac services. But it was to look particularly at the specialist cardiac services, the acute cardiac services, and where those acute services would be and where the centres would be located. And obviously, in the South East and Waterford, there is a campaign for full 24/7 emergency cardiac services. So that report was commissioned in 2019. Professor Nolan, who then was seconded into NEFID for a period. So it was delayed because of that. And I know people hate hearing the word NEFID again, but unfortunately that's where he went for a time period. But then he came back, he finished the work, and it's been on the minister's desk for, I think, at least 10 months. I've raised this previously with Stephen Donnelly, and I've raised it most recently with the new Minister for Health as well, asking her, has she got the report? And she says, yes. Will it be published? She says in a few weeks. I was told the same last year, several times, and it still hasn't been published. And I got a parliamentary question response back today, coincidentally, and it says that the publication of this review will then determine the new cardiovascular strategy that will have to be put in place. And it says that the new national strategy will take time to develop and will require significant reform. Well, that's exactly what I've been telling the government for the last four years and over the last 10 months. If you don't publish this review, then the new national cardiovascular strategy that has to look at prevention, treatment, community scanning, for example, all of those issues where we have delays of up to 2 years for people waiting for cardiovascular scans, all of these issues where investment is needed, is essentially put on hold. And we haven't had a cardiovascular strategy, Kieran, would you believe, since 2019.
Yeah.
So the previous strategy ran from 2010 to 2019. It's something the Irish Heart Foundation and others have been quite vocal on.
Stay with us. Dr. Maura Finn is with us as well as a GP at Ennis-Centric Health. Maura, in terms of a strategy, if we ultimately get it, we will ultimately get it. David wants it sooner rather than later. What are the shortcomings in the system that it needs to address?
Well, there's disparities throughout the system, throughout the country and in different parts of the system as well. I can understand Deputy Callanan's issues around Waterford, but like, say, for instance, I'm in the Midwest, in Ennis, and we have a really good, excellent acute cardiac care centre there. It's a new building, really well staffed, wonderful. But what happens is, because of the ongoing trolley crisis that's happening in UHL, the elective procedures that are necessary, angiograms and other procedures that are to be done, are often cancelled because the new purpose-built designated unit is actually full of trolleys. So that's an issue in this particular part of the country. And what's really baffling is that there's, you know, we're a small country, but there's different pathways, different services in every part between Sligo, Waterford, Cork, Dublin. And it's very hard to kind of keep track of them. So a national strategy is absolutely needed because there are some wonderful services and wonderful people working, but we just can't access them as quickly as we'd like to.
And how different is the experience, Maura, of somebody with private health insurance in terms of pursuing those elective procedures or those screenings?
Well, if, if, There's two issues around that, actually. Private health insurance, obviously, you know, they have access to, and they're being advertised constantly on the radio and television, the acute cardiac walk-in services that your insurance company will cover you for, which is absolutely wonderful, and it's necessary, because the public services just would not be able to cope with the entire population. That's one problem. The acute services in most parts of the country are actually very good, even for publicly. But what's interesting is, so you might think that the private patient is at an advantage, and they absolutely are if they have insurance there. But there are really, really good primary care, GP-led chronic disease management services now that are across the country. They're excellent. They're about monitoring and treating and tracking patients with chronic disease like hypertension or heart failure. And those services, which are 6 monthly reviews with GP, nurse and bloods and everything, are only available to medically card patients. So private patients can't access those. So there's disparities in many different ways that people don't really even talk about. And then the outpatient services, like I said about if we have somebody who's waiting for an elective procedure and that gets cancelled, they, unfortunately, that's a missed opportunity, and they may then progress to an emergency situation, which puts pressure on the acute services.
David, the second cath lab in Waterford, obviously, are 24/7 care in the southeast, acute cardiac care, high on your agenda. Beyond that, though, and kind of picking up on some of the points that Maura makes there, what do you want to see, first and foremost, included in a strategy?
Well, I think prevention is one of the big areas. So I know that the Irish Heart Foundation has been lobbying for health checks, for example. So blood pressure checks, cholesterol checks for those who are most at risk. We know that there can be wait times for scans, for example, that can take an imaging that can take up to 2 years for angiograms, echocardiograms. All of that's very important to diagnose, obviously, a patient. We also heard from the Irish Cardiac Society and the Oireachtas Health Committee late last year that we have very expensive imaging equipment lying idle in some parts of the state and hospitals because we don't have the staff, so there's staffing problems. So I suppose what a national strategy does, it pulls all of the strands of care and those pathways that the doctor was talking about and makes sure then that we have the investment that's needed across all of those areas. And it also makes sure then that within the department and within the HSE that you have people responsible for driving all of that. So prevention, access to services on the acute side, but also on the community side. And those chronic disease management teams that was talked about are really important. They are a game changer, but we don't have enough of them. We don't have enough staff. And if we really want to do more on the prevention side, on the treatment side, and actually take pressure away from our acute hospitals, more investment, I think, in primary and community care is where we need to go.
And David Cullinan, Sinn Féin's health spokesperson. Dr. Maura Finn is a GP at Enocentric Health. Maura and David, thanks a million for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.